Hello and welcome to another little chat. It is actually the 10th of September and I'm a bit late this week, I should say, with my recordings. But one thing has sort of led to another, and partly it's been the weather. It's actually raining now, and for several days my walks with Lottie have been in full waterproofs. So sort of sloshing along in my wellies through the wet grass. So not ideal weather to be waving a portable recording device around. So I am actually at my desk. I am in my little room where I do all my writing. It used to be one of my son's bedrooms, but now they're all grown up and moved on. I turned it into my office because it's nice. It has a little view out across the allotments, and on a good day I can see out across the hills across a nice bit of Devon. But at the moment the view goes as far as the trees at the end of the allotments, which is still nice. It's just it's just a shame to be rainy, but here we are, it's going into autumn, so these things are going to happen. It's nice just to be catching up with you and letting you know how things are getting on. So I'm still chugging away at the next book, and I do feel like it's taking shape. It is taking longer than I would have hoped, but it's kind of hard because each time I do one of these, all I can really say is that I'm keeping going, and I'll try and find different aspects of it as we go along to discuss. Like at the moment, one of the things that is concerning me is what writers often talk about pacing, and it's kind of hard to pin down exactly what people mean by that. Different people perhaps mean different things, but I kind of get a bit itchy with chapters if they're getting on for too long and they're doing things like maybe they're developing the characters a bit and you're getting background information, but the main plot isn't moving forward in some way. And with a mystery, that moving on the plot takes lots of forms, I feel anyway. It doesn't have to be like an action sequence, because these aren't sort of thrillers in that way. They have a different kind of pacing. But I think that as somebody who enjoys mysteries myself, I think there are things that a mystery reader looks out for. So in little conversations between characters, they may appear fairly mundane on the surface, but with little background information dropped in drip by drip as you go along, I think a mystery reader, their sort of ears kind of perk up a bit and they go, ah, so that's how that person is related to that person, or, you know, perhaps there's a hint of some enmity between people. That kind of thing. Can you give some hint at somebody's dark past, that kind of thing? And I like to not signpost them too much, because I think mystery readers like to latch onto these things themselves. And it's fun as a writer because you can scatter things in knowing full well that some of them are red herrings, but that's okay. That's part of the enjoyment for people, because you've got to give people a fighting chance to think, aha, I spotted that earlier. And as readers go along, they'll be noticing things and fully knowing that some of them will turn out to be not relevant, although they might help on the way. They might help in the process as you go. And that's kind of all part of the fun. So I'm doing a chapter now that just does seem to be getting a bit long. It's slightly different, though, with this book, because it's the fifth novel, not counting sort of some of the extra little short stories like Death at Blackingstone Rock and Mystery at the Hall. Not counting those. There are four kind of books, although Study in Stone isn't very long, as I'm sure I've discussed before with you. It's just the way it turned out because it was an experiment. The readers by now may have read all those other books, and so they may be interested in a slightly different way in the main character, certainly. So in scenes that, or chunks of chapters that deal with those main characters, I think readers will give me a bit of leeway there to explore those aspects of the main characters particularly. So I don't want to give anything away. I'll maybe just give one little hint that in this book there is a kind of something to do with Dan and Sam. I'll just give you that tiny little teaser there. And it's a bit of a kind of will they, won't they thing that's been going for a while through the books since Valley of Lies when Sam appeared. And, you know, things will be happening in that regard. So you'll find out a bit more as we go on. It is nice with having a kind of setting like the fictional village in that it's you can bring characters back and you can have them develop through later books. And hopefully I'll do that in a way that that if characters are brought back, it won't matter to people if they haven't read all the books in order. But for those that have, it'll be a nice little extra surprise, a little extra treat. Think, aha, he was in that book or she was in that book. And so I will do that from time to time. And I think it's nice. I try to serve both kind of sets of readers, those who are coming to it fresh and may have picked up a book just because they like the cover or something or happen to have, you know, caught their attention. And it won't matter to them that it's a fifth book. They'll still expect a jolly good read. And so it's my job to give them that. So I do kind of keep that in mind. I want people to enjoy it, whether this is their first book or whether it's their fifth book, or they've read, you know, all the other books and all the short stories to go with it. Okay, I think that's probably as much as I can say about that at the moment. I will be doing some more snippets in the newsletters as we go on, for sure. It was quite fun doing that little one the other day, and I think some people quite liked it, just the prologue. And yeah, if you've missed newsletters, one of the nice things about having the membership site now on the michaelcamplin.com is that I tend to put things on there first and then share them through to the newsletter so that both are covered. So if you're thinking, well, I've only just joined, so I've missed this snippet and I'd like to see it, well, you just join the site and you will be able to find it there. So you don't have to join the site to hear these podcast episodes. They are for everybody. But because podcasts are public anyway, so it didn't make sense to try and hide them away. But the other content is all in our kind of safe space, our safe area where people can join and leave comments, and I'll see all those comments and generally reply. I try to reply to them in a timely way. It can sometimes be a bit confusing as to which comment happened when. You'd think it'd be simple, but maybe I should change the comment system. I don't know. I think it's okay at the moment. It's kind of basic, but it's there. It can be hard for me to see the order sometimes. It doesn't show them, believe it or not, quite in the way that you might think. It's not very clever. But, okay, I will try and get to comments. And I do certainly see them all. I certainly see and read and appreciate them all. And it's nice. Sometimes people aren't really expecting a reply. They just want to, you know, say thanks for something or say they enjoyed something. So. But I do try and reply. And that is that. So, yep, stuff will be going up onto the website as we go along. And that's the kind of the one-stop shop to find everything together. There won't be a huge amount going up over the next couple of weeks. We'll be taking a bit of a break. So there won't be much stuff going up, but I'll certainly be taking lots of photos when I go around places, and you know, might even do a chat, record a chat while I'm somewhere else, just to be a just for a bit of fun. Keep those going. Oh, the other thing I was going to mention just briefly is that sometimes people ask me about water allotments because they get mentioned, particularly in Mystery in May. I won't do any spoilers here, but they are mentioned. And I can see, I've just said earlier that I can see some out of my window. And there are some links to further sources of information on the site. But if you've read each of the Devonshire Mysteries, you'll always find at the back some questions and answers. And one of those is always to, it usually says something like, can I see your sources or can I see your references or something like that. And if you go to that link, it will show you where on my, it'll either go to my website and then to a notebook or directly to a notebook. I can't remember if they're all the same or not. But yeah, I use a little program called Notion to keep track of notes. And then what I do is when I've finished writing the book, I tidy up the list of references, kind of put them into categories, and I share that because I can make it public for people to see. And in there you can see a fairly exhaustive set of links to websites that I've used in writing the book. In this current one, there seems to be an awful lot of them, and they can be all kinds of things from large to small. It might be looking at, say, clothes websites, because if you're thinking about clothes that people are wearing, it might be very easy to describe them in a nice short way without wasting everybody's time. But you do have to visualize something, and sometimes it's important, like, say, whether a character is wearing an expensive dress or a cheap one, that may be important. And so it's good to kind of know roughly what you're talking about, so you're not making a fool of yourself. And I will often store those links away. Similarly, when we do things like talk about beers, I generally link to those so that people can see the various types of real ale that Dan and Alan have been quaffing as they go about their business. And I just think, you know, it's there. It's not everybody's going to want to see them, but for those that do, it's nice just to provide a bit of something extra. I certainly think very few people would click on all the links, but they might want to just go down and see what sparks their interest. You know, so if there's something you've particularly wondered about in a novel, like, say, The Allotments, you should be able to find from the back of the book a link through, a bit of information and links through to the notebook, where you'll be able to find more information. But just briefly, allotments go back a long way. I haven't got the sources of information in front of me, but there is a history of land being given to peasants to grow food for themselves. We're going back a long way in this country. And later on in the 50s, particularly after the Second World War, when food was in short supply, there was actually an Allotment Act passed by Parliament, and it laid down the conditions whereby parish councils, which is kind of like one of the minor tiers of local government in this country, and parish councillors are elected but they're not paid, gives you an idea, and they help to sort of decide on local issues for quite a small area. So things like parish councils and town councils and city councils, that all those sort of bodies, municipal type bodies, can have an area of land set aside if it is shown that there is a need. So if you can get enough signatures in an area and say, we need these allotments, that they're sort of community gardening space, particularly for growing food, then the councils are supposed to provide them. And usually there's a nominal type charge. So it is some like a yearly rent, but not very high, because the idea is they're supposed to be in reach of everybody who wants one. And they come and go in fashion, but at the moment, with the interest in organic gardening and knowing where your food comes from, they're quite popular, and a lot of areas have waiting lists. So here in our little village where I live, we have allotments right outside, and people can grow food. They keep chickens and ducks. You're allowed to keep things like rabbits as well, I believe, because that goes back to, you know, again, to the 50s. It was actually stated that people might raise rabbits for food. It's not something that I've ever heard of people doing these days, but certainly people have things like chickens and ducks, even a turkey at one time there was out there. But that's unusual. Chickens is the common one. And people are allowed, you know, to have a shed and a greenhouse, that kind of thing. In cities, some of them have facilities like water laid on and so on. So they vary, but they're sort of different size plots that you can rent and get out there and grow. Some of them are quite organised and they have quite sort of strict rules about, you know, all the sheds must be painted the same colour and mustn't be more than a certain size and things like that. Out here in the countryside, it's a bit more relaxed and you have a range from absolutely spotless ones where there's, you know, no weed is to be tolerated at any time through to ones where people don't have much time perhaps, and there's a whole mixture of things and cobbled together sheds made out of scrap wood and old doors and all kinds of things to quite smart sheds. So it's a community thing, and it's nice that people can help each other. If they go out there, you know, might swap extra plants and things like that and seeds, and people might help each other out. So it's quite a nice thing to have. We're quite lucky to have it in a village this size. And yeah, we have a few people who come from out of the village because where they live, there's too long a waiting list. So they come along here to do that. And it's a good thing, you know, it's fresh air, exercise and food at the end of it. And we sometimes have deer that come in, they're little muntjac deer, which are kind of a small type of deer, slightly quite a dark coat, and they're quite nimble, and they roam across the fields near here, and they pop in where they can, and particularly at night, and help themselves to young plants and strip all the beans off the stalk and things like that, and absolutely pretty much demolished Sue's sweet corn. So you know, not without its frustrations, but a nice thing to have. So anyway, that's for anyone who's asking. So that's the basis of it, and you will find them up and down the country. Yeah. Okay. I think I will wrap that up because that's about the length of time I usually talk for. So I'm sorry I'm not in the outdoors today. And it's just me, not Lottie as well. But yeah, it's nice to have a little chat with you. So thank you very much for listening. Thank you to everyone who has supported and encouraged me in my work, either by sharing the books, talking about them, telling their friends, or even signing up at the site or for the newsletter, or all of the above, and those who go the extra mile and send me a cup of tea. I am at this very moment raising a cup of tea to you. So plain, what's this, Yorkshire tea I think I've got today, tea bag. So thank you very much if you've contributed to that. It all helps. It all helps to keep the wheels turning. So thanks very much, and hope to chat to you again soon. And look after yourselves. Take care and happy reading. And thank you and goodbye.